Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So today I had one of those weird little walk down memory lane. My son was, you know, we were talking about, you know, protesting, and we were talking about, you know, all of the things going on in our communities, and, you know, all the stuff that that's, you know, in the headlines. And, you know, he's like, you know, I haven't done enough of this stuff. And I go, well, you know, you started out young. And he didn't believe that, you know, when he was 16 months old, he had his first protest. But oddly enough, our local newspaper still has the article online from 2007. I tweeted it out earlier and embarrassed him because it's the most adorable picture in the world. But it was when his oldest sister was, you know, going to kindergarten, and the class sizes were enormous. And we went to the school board meeting to say, hey, you can allocate resources better to better educate our kids. Oddly enough, they did it the next year. I kind of take offense by that, but at least they did it. But there was the picture of him and his sister protesting for education, which I thought was, you know, a great way to, you know, to have our conversation, which brings me to today's conversation with our good friends at the Badass Teachers Association. Yeah, there are a lot of laws on the books to make sure that our kids are getting the education they need, some good, some bad. The most recent one that I've come across is laws that mandate that kids read by the third grade. That's why I've asked Stephanie Rizdahl-Fear to come talk with us. She's an education blogger, public school advocate, and educator. Stephanie, thanks for taking time for us.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate listening to you, but I also, what I really appreciate is your focus on public education, because I think in order to solve a lot of our world issues, we have to have a strong public education school system. So thank you so much.
No, it's important. And I think right now we're seeing in our political discourse, you know, some of the failings of our system and helping us to bridge some of these ideological gaps and being able to actually converse. And I think education is the way forward.
Absolutely. Oh, me too. I am a huge proponent. I'm a former public school teacher, a former, you know, public school graduate, and now I have children in the public school. So I am very dedicated to the cause.
Yeah, we've had, you know, our oldest daughter graduated this year. In fact, you know, as I was saying at the beginning, you know, we had a little protest in front of the Board of Education with signs and everything. Because we wanted smaller class sizes. We wanted the kids to get a good opportunity. And we demanded the most from our kids. And, you know, for me, you know, I read your article and on, you know, why, you know, these laws on, you know, mandating third graders read are harmful. Personally, our kids did. So, you know, I'm happy about that. But I want you to explain why you think it's bad to set that kind of a bar for kids to read. Because I think most people would say, you know, we want our kids to be reading by third grade, and if they can't, we need to make sure that they can before they move forward.
So I can agree with that. I think that the issue is the test itself. I don't think that test in particular really can assess readers. I think that we have narrowed the focus of what reading is. And my kids were readers by third grade as well. However, the problem with these mandates is that they now have trickled down to kindergarten. So you actually, within like the two states that my children, they were in Colorado first, and then they were in Minnesota now. But they already, like within a couple of weeks of kindergarten, they are testing children to determine if they are deficient readers. And so the problem itself is the test. I really don't believe this test can tell us much about who a reader is, but also the fact that it has now trickled down to kindergarten, and then these tests become you teach to the test. You see what I'm saying? And so the instructional piece of it has really gotten to be very concerning to me.
Yeah, for me, the whole institution seems to be moving towards, you know, almost like factory work, and that, you know, we have these, you know, hard caps on things. But what do you say to the person? And I get this from folks who go, you know, there are studies out there that say if you can predict if a child's going to go to prison, you know, by second or third grade based on their reading scores. And some of them are fairly accurate. Now, granted, these are in districts that are high poverty rates and a lot of that stuff that play along with it. But what do you say to those people who use reading as that metric by which, you know, they're looking at the future for these kids?
Well, and once again, I can support that we need to have literate children. I would not support the idea that this is what is doing that. And I think that, if anything, it's hindering children to become readers because of the machines that we're creating in them. And, for instance, you know, they come into kindergarten already having to take a computerized test, and that determines what path they take. They're labeled as deficient. And then the child themselves, they don't get a chance to explore, to discover, to do all of these things. So, and the other issue is that they're coming in at the age of 5, when we know that the average reader starts at the age of 7. My own daughter, they, you know, wanted to label her as that, and she was only, you know, 5. And I talked to the teacher, and she just kind of like, she just kind of took a deep breath. "You're right," she says. We need to do. She's young. She's okay. She is okay. But I think also I would challenge the whole idea that the Read by Third Grade campaign necessarily equates to, you know, prison time and such like that. Because I know that my blog also got posted on Diane Ravitch, and Alora Chapman talked about it. And she talked about that there has been a campaign for this Read by Third Grade by 36 foundations and corporations. And they then did their own research that was never peer-reviewed. And so so it's really concerning to me that this maybe isn't the best. In fact, she said what really matters is more is how they come into the ninth grade. And ultimately, we know that these laws were created by ALEC, American Legislation Exchange Council. They weren't created by educators.
Yeah, they never seem to be created by actual teachers. they're usually created by the profiteers, the people who suck off of our
exactly.
tax dollar.
Exactly. And so I do, I'm not saying that I don't support literacy, early literacy, but I think what these laws have done have damaged literacy practice. And what they really have done is hurt us, because I can look at like the stats that they use, and it shows that like the scores in Minnesota in particular have gone down like 4 percentage points since they've enacted this law. And I think that, you know, my other concern is that these laws, you know how capitalism needs a good crisis to make money, right? And so what they've done with these is they show that our kids are in crisis. And so what are they going to do? They're going to throw money, or they're going to make money out of different programs. For instance, I heard you this morning or with the whole Google lawsuit. And the computers in schools are also extremely concerning to me, because they have kind of become a monopoly, and from my opinion, and I don't know that they're necessarily what's best for children. But I just learned tonight that Lauren Jobs has bought out a computer program, Amplify, which is basically all reading instruction put on a computer. And I just don't think that's best practice. And I don't know, are you familiar with the book, Let the Children Play?
Yes.
So in it, Nancy Carlson Page, she talks about how she went and explored kindergarten classrooms in Florida. And she said it was sterile. The walls were barren. And the teachers had, or, you know, rallying language on the walls saying, "Be quiet, sit still." And they had kids practicing how to fill in bubbles on a computer. And it was just so stark. And it's so not what children need.
No,
we know that children learn best through play. And
yeah.
Kindergarten and first grade teachers, and that's the problem too, is that we have gotten rid of the quality of, we have gotten rid of the respect for teachers, but also how their experience matters. And we have then now relied on the program. So I would argue that since No Child Left Behind has been implemented, we know that they've starved schools, obviously. We know that they have really forced a lot of teachers out, because teachers have a hard time following a particular prescribed program because it's not what's best for kids. And so, and we know that the quality of the teacher really improves the quality of the learning.
I'm right there with you. But, you know, when I look at this, you know, I think back to my own experience going through school, because, you know, mm-hmm. I was a horrible out loud reader.
Right.
I was terrible.
Right.
And it was because it was a couple of things. It was, I didn't like standing mm-hmm. up in front of the classroom, and it was a you know, self-image thing and part of that. But it was also that I didn't breathe well. I didn't take breaths at the commas and periods. It took me years to figure that out. And the nuns that I had, and this, Sister Mary St. Leo, if she's dead somewhere and you know where she's at, let me know so I can dig her up to kill her again. But, you know, it gave me, and this is where, you know, when I look at some of these hard caps and these hard musts, especially mm-hmm. on reading, because it got me to hate reading so badly mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That this woman would literally torture me with reading out loud. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That I don't want that for any kid to have that, no. Especially at third grade to have that level. Now, you know, my problem right. was sixth grade, but, you know, at third grade, even younger, I don't know that you recover from that. And then the predictor of
definitely.
Who's going to jail gets even worse.
Right. But yes. And once again, I think you've hit it really. We need to create an environment where children love to read. And what these laws have done have created an environment that, okay, you're apparently deficient in this. Teachers know that the best way to get a child to become a better reader literacy is by knowing their strengths and using those strengths then to help them become readers. But another example is, for instance, my son has really got into the Who Would Win books. So we know that that's an interest of his. And so he's going to use what he knows and his interests to really work on reading those. And so we've taken away any kind of curiosity. We've taken away any kind of opportunity for children just to be able to sit and work on understanding. And you hit also another key point is that you had to figure out how to read. That none didn't do it for you. You figured it out. Had you had an environment where you were allowed to excel in who you were as a reader, you would have been just fine.
Well, the other part of it is we did some remedial things to read out loud, because my silent reading comprehension was off the charts. My ability to get it out of my mouth was completely different. And, you know, again, it took some work, and it was one of those things that I was always self-conscious about. And
right.
and as soon as, you know, you started hitting a kid with this, it doesn't get any worse. And look, to her, I don't know that she was a teacher. She was just a woman in a dress with a stick who just loved to beat the boys with the sticks. But that's a whole nother, that's a whole therapy session for another day.
But I would argue that that's what we are doing, not, you know, the proverbial, that we are creating a whole generation of children who aren't wanting to read because we are saying you are a failure, deficient. And we've also gotten to the point that it's data-driven.
Right.
And data-driven and reading instruction means that how fast you can read, how accurate you can read. And I know someone, we listened to a Debbie Miller speak about how she had a student that was reading to her. And she says, listen, you know, I was able to read that fluently and I was able to read every word correctly. And then Debbie asked her, well, what was the book about? Had no clue.
Yeah.
And I think that we lose the idea that, I mean, there's very few times that we actually read out loud. So that's a different skill than reading is interacting with text. It's laughing at the funny parts. It's crying when a, you know, character you love, you know, gets hurt or things like that. Reading is about interaction and understanding. It's a active sport. You're not a passenger. You're not a sideline.
No, but let me ask you this, because, you know, one of the mm-hmm. things that I've always believed, and I give my wife the ultimate credit, the utmost credit for what she's done with mm-hmm. our kids. We've got, you know, probably 1,000 books,
yeah.
you know, kids' books, you know, littering the house. we've got stacks of them all over the place. And our kids, they're readers, and they read yeah. for enjoyment, which, you know, as someone who hated to read, has no idea why they do this. And thank goodness my wife has done this. Ultimately, though, doesn't this come to the home and providing that environment for kids to be able to read for enjoyment instead of like I had to? You got to read this and you got to read it now and on command.
Absolutely. I would agree with that. But I also think that schools can create an environment that supports that. When I was in the classroom, I had over 1,000 books in my class. And kids were able to choose from those books. And then we worked on their skills or what have you that they needed to work on within those books. And I think, that's extremely important. The other big concern I have is that if you know to defend the early years, are you familiar with them?
No.
Okay, so that also is a Nancy Carlson page. And there's a variety of people in there. But they have a really solid research project in there called Reading in Kindergarten. And it shows, they did a study in 2007, which shows that there's a concern about kids who are, when we promote early reading instruction, that there's no solid evidence that the long-term gains for children who are taught to read in, you know, kindergarten versus if they're taught to read in first or second grade. And if anything, that early reading does not indicate high intelligence. It just, in fact, they show that in the research by a Dr. Marcy Gudemi, that the class in kindergarten, that only 40% chance of being at the top of the class at the end of third grade. So once again, I think that we're missing a lot, like you had mentioned, all this political strife and such like that. Children in kindergarten need to be playing. They need to be, and it's not just because it's about getting along. Think about if you ever watch children play, there's a lot of thought that goes into it. There's a lot of deep thinking. There's a lot of paying attention to particular things, everything that we need to do to become readers and writers. And so, once again, I would argue that these laws have created such a horrible prescriptive programs, because we know that the best way to get children to become better readers is by experienced, qualified teachers, which is really hard to come by when they're forced to use a program. And so I would say, yes, you have to instill that love of reading, but you can do that. I was just talking to a teacher who had taught in kindergarten. She says, we read Brown Bear so many times, and then we made books about it, and children would write about it and things like that. That's what an environment should look like. Yeah. But instead, these laws that are showing that they're not working.
See, I remember kindergarten, and it's like 100 yeah. years ago. kindergarten was nap time a couple of times. It was a lot of playing, a lot of interacting, yes. and you passed if you could tie your shoes and not wet yourself every day.
Yes, well, hopefully, I mean, it could be a little bit more. And I'm all for letting children, you know, read books, and I'm all for if that's where they're at right now. But we've created that sterile environment that Nancy Carlson Page really talks to in the Let the Children Play.
Right.
And I don't know of anyone who can, in that environment, really thrive on reading. And the other concern I have is these tests then determine which route you go, which path you're going to take. And you, like you said, it's become very factory. They claim that we're all 21st century and blah, 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 and that's so not true. It's not what my children are getting.
Yeah.
And like I said, I refuse these tests for my children, and I'm glad they did, because you know that label sticks with you. It's very, very hard for you to lose your label if
Absolutely.
You've been labeled too late. And I think we have labeled too many kids as deficient because we are forcing them to read before they are developmentally ready.
There you go. The article, Third Grade Reading Laws Are Harmful, written by Stephanie Rizdahl-Fear. We'll get links out on how you can take a look at that and maybe think about how it affects your life. But Stephanie, I appreciate you taking some time. Really
Thank you
good
so
stuff.
Much. All right. Thank you so much. Enjoy your night.
Thank you as well. Again, make sure you take a look at it. We'll get links out on how you can do that. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
Saving work in America, one show at a time. The Rick Smith Show.